story of Samuel is an amazing story. And I just want to spend a couple minutes by way of introduction tonight to remind you, and I think most of you know the story of Samuel, but it's an amazing, amazing story. His mother's name was Hannah. And as we pick up her and her husband's story in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we find that she's without child. She doesn't have any children. And she's praying for a boy. She wants a male child. And she makes a promise to God. She says, if you'll give me a boy, I'll give him back to you and he'll be yours all the days of his life. Now, Eli was the high priest. The Ark of the Covenant and the House of the Lord, as they called it, was in a place called Shiloh at this time. And Eli was the priest, and they came, Hannah and her husband and his other wife, they came yearly up to Shiloh to offer a sacrifice. And she would go to the House of the Lord, and she would pray this prayer. And she was there this particular time, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she was praying, and her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying the words out loud. And Eli saw her and thought that she was drunk, and he rebuked her. And he said, how long are you going to be drunken? Put away the wine. And Hannah went right back at him and said, and I don't know what if she called him the high priest or what they called him back then, but she said, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I poured out my soul to the Lord. She did not even tell Eli what she was praying for. This just that she had a sorrowful spirit, and in this time of prayer, she had poured out her soul unto the Lord. And when Eli saw that she was telling the truth, he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. In other words, Eli didn't even know what she was praying for. He just said, hey, go in peace, and the God of Israel answer your prayer. And the God of Israel give you what you're asking for. And God answered Hannah's prayer. She had a little boy. She named him Samuel because, she says, I got him, I asked him of the Lord. And he stayed, Samuel stayed with his mother until he was weaned. And then they brought him before the Lord, as we read in verse 24. And she gave him back to God. She kept her promise to God. Remember, she had asked God, give me a little boy, give me a male child, and I'll give him back to you, and he'll be yours as long as he lives. And the passage that we read was when Hannah and her husband brought Samuel back to the Lord and said, here he is. You've answered my prayer, and now I'm going to keep my promise to you. I'm going to give this child back to you. And by the way, if we make deals with God, we better make sure that we keep our part of the deal. I mean, the Bible warns us, don't promise something to God if you're not going to keep that promise. You're better off just to ask God and fall upon God's mercy than you are to try to make a deal with God. Because most of the time, God gets us out of trouble and we forget all about the promises that we make to him. And that's why the Bible says, just pray, ask the Lord. Don't promise him anything. Just ask him and fall on his mercy. Now, when I read stories like this and other stories in the Bible, I always try to put myself in the middle of the story and try to look at what's happening from the characters in the story perspective. It just makes it more real to me. I mean, a lot of times we read these stories in the Bible and we think these were super men and super women. No, they were people just like us. They felt the same way we feel, and they operate the same way that we operate. And I often wondered what Samuel's dad thought about what was going on when they brought that young boy. It says there in verse 22, and the child was young. I often thought what Elkanah, and that was his name, how he felt when they brought Samuel back to Eli. You got to remember at this time Eli was an old man. You got to remember at this time that Eli's sons weren't doing right. In fact, in chapter 2, there's a man sent from God that rebukes Eli for not correcting his sons. They're not conducting the system of worship right. They're not getting their due from the sacrifices. They're doing it wrong. They're doing it out of order. And they were committing some sins of immorality there at the house of God. And in chapter 2, a man from God is going to come to Eli and says, "Why haven't you corrected your sons? You've let them continue to sin." And I've often wondered what Elkanah thought when he brings this young child. And I don't know how old Samuel was. I don't know if he was 4. I don't know if he was 5. I don't know if he was 6. I just don't know how old he was. But he was a young child. I often wondered what Dad thought when they left him there with Eli and the circumstances and the things that were going on. And then I've often thought, how would Samuel feel? I mean, a young boy, and I'm sure that his mother and dad told him over and over again about the circumstances that surrounded his birth. I'm sure he was told over and over that his mother begged God for his birth, and he was an answer to prayer. But he was brought to this place and left. He only got to see his parents once a year when they came and they offered their yearly sacrifice. And the Bible says that they brought him a little coat or brought him some new clothes and a cake and something to eat when they came. As I mentioned this morning, we were taking some pictures of the little kids, and a couple of those little guys didn't want to get very far from Mom. I mean, they just didn't want to be separated from Mom. And again, I've wondered, how did Samuel feel when Mom and Dad left him in this strange place and didn't come back for a year? So that's the story. That's the story of how Samuel came on the scene. That's the story of how he was left with Eli. Tonight, I want to look at chapter 3. And I want to preach a little sermon I've entitled, "The Call of Samuel." The Call of Samuel. And I just want to look at these verses in chapter 3, tell you the story, a very familiar story. I can remember when I was 3 and 4 years old, laying in the bed with my grandmother, and this is one of the stories that she told me when I was a little child, about how this little story that's in chapter 3 of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Here's what it says. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now here's what that verse is talking about. Up till this time in the Bible, God had appeared unto man and he spoke to man. You remember in the first 5 books of the Bible, especially starting in Exodus, where God spoke often to Moses. He'd taken him up on a mound. He'd speak to him up on top of the mound. He'd speak to him in the tabernacle after they built it. And many, many times we find God speaking directly to Moses. In the book of Joshua, God or an angel from God spoke to Joshua. I mean, over and over again, Joshua was visited by an angel or talked to by God, given the battle plan for Jericho, rebuked about Ai and told that there was sin in the camp, and given the battle plans for the different battles that the nation of Israel fought. In the book of Judges, again, God comes to different people, either himself or an angel, and delivers a message. And here we find where the Bible says the word of the Lord was precious in those days. In other words, it didn't come very often. And when it came, it was precious. There was no open vision. God didn't appear to people like he had earlier in the earlier books of the Bible. "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place." I need somebody to be Eli tonight. Dave, would you come up and be Eli? Just pick you out a place over here and lay down. Now, Eli was an old guy. He was up in his 90s. And so here we have this story of Eli. Ere the lamp went out, it says that Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Brian, would you come up and be Samuel for me tonight? All right? You just sort of lay down over here on this side. So here's the old priest, old guy, can't hardly see. All right? And here's the young boy. Now, just pretend he's got a whole head of hair. Young, vibrant, okay? And he's a young guy, and he's laid over here in his particular place in the temple. And then the Bible says that the Lord called out. And so I'll play God tonight, and here's what happened. God came over, and he said, Samuel. That's all he said, Samuel. And here's what Samuel did, and Brian, I want you to do this. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here I am, for thou callest me. Okay, so here we go. Samuel. And what Eli says, No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Okay, so he goes back to bed. Now you go ahead and you read down in the next verse, it happens a second time. All right, just like it happened the first time. Samuel. Now put a little bit more spirit into this time, okay? Now the third time, something different happens. All right? The third time, God calls out again, and Samuel does the same thing. He runs over to Eli, and Samuel's getting a little bit impatient at this time. He comes over and he says, Here I am because you have called me. I've heard you. I've heard you all three times. So here I am. You have called me. Now the third time, Eli says, It's not me, it's God. The next time you hear somebody call your name, say this, Here I am. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Okay, you got your lines? Here, it's not me, it's the Lord. Next time you hear it, say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Okay, here we go. You got yours, Brian? All right. Now this time God calls twice. Samuel, Samuel. I'll help you. So next time he calls, say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
So next time he calls, say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant.
Your servant heareth. Go back to bed. Don't leave yet. You're still there. Okay, go back to bed one more time, Brian. So here it is. Fourth time now. Fourth time. Samuel. Samuel. Okay, good. Let's give our actors a hand. Would you join me? All right, thank you, guys. So that's what happened. Now, and again, I can remember just like it was yesterday. I can. It's funny. My grandmother lived over on the east side of Detroit. They didn't have air conditioning in their house. We had the windows up. And I can remember the cars going down the street. And I can remember her telling me this story. Now she made the Bible stories come alive. I mean, when God called out, she would say, Samuel, Samuel, and I can remember one time my grandpa came. What's the matter? What's going on here? And she said, Don't worry, go back to bed, Henry. We're just talking about the Bible. But that's what happened. That's the story. Now I want to make three points tonight, and I'll be quick. Point number one. God keeps calling until we answer. God keeps calling until we answer. Now, he did it three times, four times for Samuel, and I think if Eli hadn't caught on so quickly, if it would have took 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 different times, God would have continued to call. I remember when I had a different job, when I was in what we call supplier management, and our job was to get parts from suppliers. And I can remember when we have suppliers that just didn't ship when they were supposed to. I can remember getting on the phone and calling And they'd make me a promise. And I'd call them back an hour later. And they said, well, we just talked to you an hour ago and we gave you a promise as when we were going to ship. And I said, I know. I just want to make sure you're going to keep your promise. And I'd call them back again an hour later. Said, hey, this is the third time you've called today. I said, I know it is. I just want to make sure you know how important it is that we get those parts. I'd call back the fourth time and the fifth time. And about the fifth or sixth time, they said, look, we'll ship those parts. Would you please not call us anymore? Just quit calling us. I travel today and I'm gone a lot and I call home. And sometimes Jessica and Debbie are doing something else and they don't answer the phone. And I know that they're there. I just know it. And so I'll call the first time and I'll leave a message. I'll say something like this, hey, it's me. Call me when you get a chance. And I wait and wait and wait. I get no call. So you know what I do? I start calling. I call a second time. Hey, it's me. I still haven't heard from you. 20 minutes go by. Hey, it's me. I still haven't heard from you. Fourth time. Hey, it's me. And pretty soon they'll get so disgusted. They'll pick up the phone and say, what do you want? I want to talk to you. Answer the phone. And see, that's how God operates with us. He keeps calling until we answer. Now, for example, before you got saved, he kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. Like we talked about last Sunday morning, he stands at the door and knocks. He stands at the door and calls. And he keeps calling and he keeps calling and he keeps calling. And God will keep calling the unsaved person until they answer or until he knows that they're never going to answer. I believe that's the unpardonable sin that Candy mentioned a moment ago. The unpardonable sin is when we grieve the Holy Spirit. The unpardonable sin is when we say no to the Holy Spirit over and over and over again as he calls us to Christ, as he woos us to the Savior. And Jesus will keep coming to the unsaved person and keep calling and keep begging and keep pleading for them to come to salvation, for them to come to forgiveness of sins. And he'll keep calling until they come or until he knows that they've crossed the line and hardened their heart and will never come. Now, for the Christian, it goes beyond that. Because if you're a child of God and God is trying to call you to do something or he's trying to get your attention, he will never give up. He will keep calling and keep calling and keep calling and keep calling. You might as well go ahead and answer the call of God because I'll tell you tonight, he's not going to quit until you do. There's a story back in the Old Testament about one of David's sons. His name was Absalom. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. Most of you know it. But something happened where Absalom killed one of his brothers and he had to flee. And he went back to live with his father-in-law. And David began to miss his son. And David's general, Joab, noticed that. And through a series of events, Joab went to the king and said, let me bring Absalom back. And David said, okay, you can bring him back, but I don't want to see him. You can bring him back to live in his house, but I don't want to see him. And so Joab brings Absalom back. Absalom stays in Jerusalem for a while. And he says, look, if I'm home, I want to see my dad. If I can't see my dad, I might as well go back to where I was before. And so he sent word for Joab to come and see him. Joab didn't come. He sent word a second time. This was the king's son now. He said, Joab, I want you to come see me. Joab didn't come. And so the third time, what Absalom said to his servants, he said, hey, Joab's got a barley field over there next to mine. Go burn it. And his servants went and burned the barley field. And Joab came to Absalom and said, why did you burn my barley field? And Absalom says, because I was trying to get your attention. I called twice and you didn't come. I'm glad I finally got your attention. Do you know that's exactly what God does to us? If he calls through the Holy Spirit, if he tries to get a message through to us and we ignore it, and we don't answer, and we don't pick up the phone, if we were like Brian over here and when we heard God call, Samuel, if we just keep sleeping and ignore the call of God, I'll tell you something tonight, God does not give up on his children. And if you won't answer his call, he's going to send something into your life to get your attention. and he will keep calling until you answer. Now, that's what, and by the way, that's how God expects us to pray. That's how God expects us to call him. You remember that story that's over there in Luke, I think chapter 11, about the widow and the lady and the unjust judge. She kept coming to the judge, "Avenge me of my enemy, avenge me of my enemy." And the unjust judge said, "No, I have no time to do it. Leave me alone." And she kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And the unjust judge says, "I'm not going to do it because it's right. I'm going to do it to get this lady off my back. I'm just going to give her what she wants. Not because I want to do right. I'm an unjust judge. But I'm going to do it so she'll leave me alone." Look, if God expects us to approach him in that manner, he's going to approach us the same way. And he is going to keep calling and calling and calling and calling and calling until we answer. You say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, I can't recognize the call of God in my life." No, you're not fooling me. You can too. You know just as well as I do, you know when God's trying to tell you about something. Bev, can I share your testimony, Bev? Bev was telling me the other day, Wednesday night, in fact, before she and Bill went to see Pam. She said, "I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was impressed by God. God told me to go see Pam." She got up, she said, "Bill, we're going to see Pam today." And Bill said, "I'm not going. Not going." And Bev said, "Well, I'm going, and you're going with..." I don't know how it went, but she says, "I'm going whether you go or not." And he said, "Okay, I'm going to go with you." But that's God works in that way. Yeah, he doesn't speak to us in audible voices, but we are impressed. We are led. Doors are opened by God, and he wants us to answer, and he will keep calling until we do. Number two, God puts people in our life to help us understand the call. In Samuel's case, it was Eli. He did not recognize as a young man the voice of God. He did not understand that God would actually speak to a person. So he was laying over here in his bed, sleeping, and that call comes from God. Samuel! He did the only thing he knew to do. He did the natural thing. It must be Eli. He's the only one that calls me in the middle of the night. He must need something. So he goes running to Eli. Eli says, "It wasn't me. Go back to bed." The voice comes a second time. "Samuel!" And again, he did not know that God... I mean, I don't think he even felt that he was worthy for God to speak to him. I mean, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. It wasn't a common occurrence for God to speak to people. And he said, "It must be Eli. He's called me again." And Eli says, "No, it's not me." And the third time, the voice came again, "Samuel." And again, Samuel did not know what God was trying to do. And Eli says, "It must be God." Next time he calls, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I'm glad that God puts people in our lives that helps us understand what God is trying to call us to do. You see, here, and here's what we should do. God calls, and we get a message from God. Maybe we're like Samuel. Maybe we don't understand what God is trying to tell us to do. But I want to encourage you tonight. Do something. Do something. It may not be the exact right thing. Samuel didn't do the right thing when he went up and went running over to Eli. He did the thing that he thought he should do. He didn't recognize the voice of God. He said, "The only person that calls me is Eli. I'm going to go to him." And it was Eli, again, that explained to him. So when God calls you and you say, "I just don't know what God wants me to do," do something. Do something. Take your best shot at it. And I guarantee you, if you are willing to do something at the call of God, God will put somebody in your life to help you understand the call. It may be a parent. It may be a grandparent. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be a preacher. It may be a good friend. But if you are responsive to the call of God, even though you don't understand what it's all about, I guarantee you, based on what I read in this book, that God will get the message to you clear. He'll put somebody in your life that'll help you understand it. So, That's why I think it's so important when we get together, we ought to talk about the Bible. We ought to talk about Jesus. We ought to talk about our Sunday school lesson. We ought to talk about the sermons that you hear either in this place or other places. We ought to talk about them to each other. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with you going home and Bob saying to Dorothy, say, you know, there's one thing the preacher said I didn't quite understand. Did you catch it? Did you understand it? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I got a sweet note from one of the ladies in our church this week about one of her little children quoting me on a Monday morning and asking a question about my sermon. That made me feel good. That's what we ought to be doing. I mean, we ought to be listening, and if there's something we don't understand, we ought to ask each other about it. I'm so excited that our question and answer times on Wednesday night, I've already got a couple questions for a week from Wednesday night. I'm glad you have that much interest in the Bible, and you find things that you want to ask about. That's what we should be doing, because God puts people in our life to help us understand the things that we don't understand. And then number three, God will reveal himself more to us as we pay attention. 1 Samuel chapter 3, you don't need to turn to it, but let me read verse 19 to you. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. I studied that verse for a while this week. I could never come to the conclusion what it meant. Because you see, in my mind, it could mean one of two things or both of two things. It could mean this, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Samuel let none of God's words fall to the ground. Every word that God spoke to him, Samuel paid attention to. Every word that God spoke to him, Samuel tried to obey. The word was precious in those days. It wasn't a usual thing for God to talk to people. And Samuel got a wonderful privilege by hearing from God, and everything God said, Samuel did. He let none of it fall to the ground. Now, the other thing that I think it could mean just as well as that is that God used Samuel in such a way as a prophet, as a teacher, that none of Samuel's words fell to the ground. That Samuel, every time he preached, every time he taught, every time he talked about God, God used him in a mighty way. And none of his words were wasted. Now, whatever meaning that verse has ought to be true in our life. Here's what I mean by that. Every single word in this book is precious. We grow accustomed to it because we can open the Bible and read it anytime we want. I mean, we have it with us all the time, and any time of the day we can open it and we can read it. But I want to tell you something. Everything in it is precious. And we ought to treat it just like Samuel did. Every time we go into this book and the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, we ought to let none of those words fall to the ground. We ought to be obedient to every single one. And I think if we'll do that, the other part, the other meaning will be true as well. Every time we speak for the Lord, be it just in a simple witness, be it in a simple giving of a tract, every time we speak for the Lord, God won't let our words fall to the ground. He'll put them into people's hearts. He'll put them into people's lives, and he'll use them to multiply his kingdom. And then let me read verse 21, and I'll finish with this one. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You see, God revealed himself more and more and more to Samuel. You know why? Because Samuel paid attention. When Samuel understood that it was God talking to him, and he had the wonderful privilege of being the person that God spoke to, Samuel paid attention to every word. He was obedient to every word. And because he paid attention and was obedient, God said, I'm going to tell Samuel more and more and more about myself, because he's not going to waste it. Now, God will do the same thing to us. The more we pay attention to Him as He calls, the more He will reveal Himself to us. This word is precious. The Bible is a precious book. The things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us as we read this book are precious. I was thinking that this afternoon as I was finishing up my message about those people in the world that don't have a Bible. They have to depend on what's in their hearts and in their minds because somebody's come and taken their Bible away. I hope we don't ever get to that point in our country. I hope they never take our Bibles away. But wouldn't it be a shame for us to have to have that happen before this book became precious to us? Let's make it precious tonight. Let's make it precious tomorrow. This is the Word of God. Let's pay attention to when He calls. Father, thank You for tonight, for the simple truth that's in this book. Thank You for good men like Samuel that we can learn from. Good men like Joseph that we talked about this morning that we can learn from. And I pray, Father, that as You call, that we'd be obedient to listen. And that we would listen, that we would be obedient. Father, if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ, help them understand that You're not going to give up. You're going to keep calling. You're going to keep knocking. You're going to keep calling their name and wooing them to the Savior. And I pray, Father, they just decide to come. I pray for the many Christians that are here. As You speak to us, help us to listen. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what You tell us to do. Bless the invitation. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.